The October 9th edition of WINA's Best Seat in the House began with Jed Williams talking to Virginia fans about where the Cavaliers are headed following a disappointing 31-21 loss to East Carolina. Virginia's loss to the Pirates over the weekend prompted questions about where this team is headed.
Sports talk in Charlottesville will never be the same.
If you haven't torn up the contract, take it, shred it, reinvent it, and do what it takes. The bigger question that I think is on Virginia fans' minds, on community residents' minds, is did the university handle this the right way?
Live, local, dynamic.
I think it definitely was a standard message sort of thing. I think it's a part of trying to get this program back under control a little bit.
I have no problem with paying people what they deserve, but when we're going to win something, football, basketball, baseball.
This is the Best Seat in the House on News Radio 1070 WINA. To be part of the action, call 977-1070 or 1-800-688-9462. Now, Jed Williams.
What do they teach you to talk like this?
When it's over. Standing at the 10-yard line, the snap high, he catches it, it hit him in the hands, and Pinckney now may take off. Pinckney to the 5, he made something out of it, touchdown. Pinckney to the goal line. My goodness, they fake it, and the holder scores. They fake it, the touchdown by Ryan Doherty. So ECU makes it 30-14 with 2:17 to play.
Well, I've said it before sometimes on this show. There are times that the best seat in the house and the Jetteroo and the crew just can't say it better than somebody else in the media, than a local writer, a statewide, a national guy, whatever the case might be. Sometimes somebody else just says it perfectly, and so we just quote that person and give credit where credit is due. Sunday morning, Charlottesville Daily Progress, Dateline, Greenville, North Carolina, and the headline from Jerry Ratcliffe's column, quote, "Where do the Cavs go from here?" Question mark. End quote. Jerry, Hootie, perfectly put, my friend. And with that, we begin the best seat in the house on this Monday night. Joey Mancini is steamrolling down 29. He'll be here at some point. In the meantime, the grandfather's here running the show, driving the bus, literally and figuratively. How you doing, Glennie? That's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't pound the board too hard there. Adrian Vigil, Jesse Spears, Walker Freer, the entire crew, and a ton. We do a Monday ton all the time. We're doing a Monday ton of calls tonight. Right to 7 o'clock, phone number 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. You can do the Digitalk thing. Email us, jed@wina.com, jed@wina.com. A reminder, we podcast every single day. Best talk segment and best interview, thanks to Mr. Vigil. Several places you can get it, wina.com, thesaber.com, or SevillePodcast.com, and we're also on the iTunes network. So if you Google us, insert keywords like Best Seat or Jed or WINA, you are going to find the best seat in the house. Let's get the phone calls going right now. East Carolina flattened Virginia like a silver dollar pancake on Saturday. Beat them physically, beat them emotionally, beat them spiritually, beat them down. Made mincemeat of Virginia, 31-21. I thought embarrassed the Cavaliers overall. I thought the Cavaliers kind of embarrassed themselves, to be honest. I know East Carolina's an upstart program under Skip Holtz. I know they're getting better. I know they showed some things against West Virginia. But come on, this is the ACC and the University of Virginia, even in a rebuilding year. And that's East Carolina, a program that before Skip Holtz got there had gone 2-21 under John Thompson. And under Skip Holtz was only well, not very good coming into that game. They were 6-9 in their last 15 games. Where do the Cavaliers go from here? I had said on Friday that I thought that the game against East Carolina, a non-league game, but a chance to build on and recapture and gain more momentum, improve as a football team, and get back to 500 at 3-3 with a two-game winning streak, winning the last two of a three-game road swing before coming home for three, what at the time looked like ostensibly very winnable home games, with Maryland, North Carolina, and NC State. That made the East Carolina game the pivotal of all pivotal games. It made it, offshoot of the word pivotal, the pivot point of the entire 2006 season. it wasn't an ACC game. But if the Cavaliers, record-wise, wanted any glimmer of hope, wanted any snowball's chance of getting to 500 or above and qualifying for a bowl game, which, as I talked about on Friday, ultimately is how you define success, do you play in the postseason, and where do you play in the postseason? And if the Cavaliers wanted to build momentum, build confidence, and have a serious sense of self-belief and self-conviction that what they were doing was the right thing, and yep, in the end, all the struggles are going to pay off, because look at the forward direction in which this thing is moving. Duke and now East Carolina, they had to beat ECU. They had to be the hungrier team. They had to be the more intense team, the more fiery team. And they weren't the other night. And we're going to use some intangible words here to talk about deeper-seated problems with this team that aren't youth or inexperience or road games or X's and O's or blocking or execution. There are some deeper-seated issues like intensity and leadership and fire and toughness. And I am not one to question those qualities in a football team or any sports team, because Lord knows, as Bill Polian once said about Mel Kiper, I never put on the jockstrap. I got no clue how the chemistry works in that locker room. I got no clue about football intensity and what it takes to succeed at that level. But when I hear the coach and the players being captains, say those things and question those things, then fans and media members like us are led down the exact same path, and we're led to follow suit and do the exact same things that they're doing. This is not me making this statement up. This is Al Groh immediately in the aftermath of the 31-21 loss.
Expecting East Carolina's best game of the season, knowing that it would take our best game of the season to counter that. Certainly looked as if we got East Carolina's best game, but quite obviously we didn't get our best game. Thought they outkicked us, outcoached us, outcaught us, outdefended us, outrun us. And so we got the result we got.
And Jerry Ratcliffe again states it perfectly in the Charlottesville Daily Progress. The burning question is why? If Virginia realized exactly what it had on its hands in East Carolina, and exactly what the formula, tangibly and intangibly, was to win that game on Saturday, and went out and laid an egg, and as Al Groh said, not only didn't put forth the right game plan or the right performance, but then you've got Chris Long saying, what did he say, quote, we came into the season thinking our identity as a team was a business-like kind of get-things-done team. Go out there and take care of business and we should be fine. But it looks like we're going to need a spark. End quote. Well, that all makes sense, and I don't think he's saying anything too revolutionary there. But then he continues. Long said, quote, I don't know where that spark should come from. No fire, no intensity, according to a captain of the team, and no explanation as to why that's not happening, and no explanation or understanding of how it's going to get better, or if it's going to get better. Deion Williams, another captain on this team, a senior, one of the five seniors who actually plays. Quote, you hear all this talk about how we're such a young team, but that's not the issue. We have a lot of guys on our team that have been playing Virginia football for a while now. It's time to step up and act like mature, veteran players, make more plays, and have more heart, end quote. We need a spark, we don't know who it should come from, and time to act like mature, veteran players and have more heart. Those are intangible, serious, deep-seated issues with a football team. And it doesn't matter if you block a little bit better, or run a little bit better, or play pretty good coverage, or get decent pressure on the quarterback. If those are fundamental problems that are issues in your locker room and issues with your team that your captains are talking about publicly and that your coach all but conceded after a very disappointing loss, there are some deep-seated problems with this team. And it begs some major questions. It begs primarily the question that I dish out to you, the Best Seat listeners, and wait on your response. By the way, best phone call tonight, year-long subscription to Cavalier Corner and lunch for two at Wild Wing Cafe. In your mind, where do the Cavaliers go from here? Can they nosedive anymore? Have they flatlined at this point? Do you not even judge them by wins and losses, just by little bits of progress you can see along the way? Is there hope that they'll get better? Or have you seen too much evidence to the contrary at this point? I'll dish it out to you open-ended, and you take it however you want to. Where do the Cavs go from here? That's the big question. 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. Mike has been very patient on line two. Good friend of the show. How you doing, Mike?
Good afternoon, Jed. How are you doing this evening?
Well, good to hear from you. Thanks, sir.
Hey, I'm calling. Where do we go from here? I don't know. I just feel like they have hit rock bottom. There is no motivation. There's no enthusiasm. If you look at the players, I think my question tonight was going to be, where do we start looking at, you know, maybe it's the OC, and I'm not referring to the show on Fox. I'm talking about the new OC we got up here in the box, and it just looks like our offense is stagnant, and it's not moving the ball like it should be, and our receivers, I mean, hell, our wide receivers got more touchdown passes than our starting quarterback.
I'm about to say, that's my trivia question. Emmanuel Byers looks like Sean Moore by comparison.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and but then you've got wide receivers. I mean, on offense, I don't know that they necessarily got worse, but as you said, Mike, they stagnated. They certainly didn't get better, and certain areas took a step forward, like the running game, and other areas, like the wide receivers, took a major step back. And you can't do the two steps forward, two steps back tango every week in college football and get better.
You're right. You're right. And, we're losing to Western Michigan and East Carolina. We have absolutely no hopes whatsoever beating any ACC quality teams. In Maryland, North Carolina, they're not quality teams, but they're ACC teams. How are we going to beat them? Can we lose to Western Michigan?
At this point, Mike, we're losing to the entire geographic compass. We've lost to East Carolina, Western Michigan, North Carolina's next. Thank God there's not a Southern team on the schedule, or maybe a double directional like Northwestern or South Central LA or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're covering the whole darn compass here.
I tell you what, unless PVCC gets a team, we may not get another W this year.
That was a post on the Sabre.com. Somebody writes, I still say we win the next three. And the next guy writes, no, we don't. And the guy after that writes, I doubt it. Western, Albemarle, JMU, and VMI look solid, though. And I'm not trying to take pot shots here, but Mike, to me, and I think to most of the Best Seat listeners, it's very disconcerting when I pick up the paper on Sunday morning and I read quotes from team captains talking about a lack of fire and a lack of heart and a lack of spark and not knowing where to get that. Either that means there's a failure in leadership or there's a failure in the younger players of getting that message and owning up to their responsibility to the leaders. And of course, it starts from the top. But when you start hearing things like that, those are deeper seated issues than, you know, did we seal this guy the right way on the pulling stretch run?
Yep, I agree. I think we got some in-house issues we need to nip in the bud, or it's going to be a bad scene.
Thank you, Mike. Good phone calls always.
All right, buddy.
Good to hear from you, buddy. That's Mike on line two. I want to go to let's go to Mancini on line one. Hello, Mancini. Where are you and your little cruise down 29?
News bulletin, Seminole Court. I'm at the light there, and the traffic is very, very, very slow.
Very bad visit, very bad traffic?
Very bad visit, very bad drive home.
So we'll see you for 6:30. Hopefully you'll be here by 6:35, because we got some killer hidden audio. If you think we're freaking as a Cavalier Nation, wait until you hear Michigan State Football Nation, Joey.
Where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here?
I don't know if I really have an answer to that. I think that's a team question and a program question, frankly. I think we should kind of look at individual development like we did with basketball season last year. We have to take kind of small steps on the individual level and look at kind of how they're playing the game from week to week and take a little solace in that, because this is, as I've said a couple of times, this is not a good football team.
Joey, how right you are. But you know, the frustrating thing is last year we did that in Dave Leto's first season because it was Dave Leto's first season.
Right.
And he had seven or eight players, and we all knew it wasn't about wins or losses, but how you play the game. And then they overachieved, and I changed my statement. I never thought, and I never would hope in year six of a football administration, that we're doing the whole, well, we're halfway through the season, and we're not going to finish over 500, it looks like. And we're 2-4, and we've lost to a Mountain West team. Well, excuse me, almost lost to a Mountain West team, lost to a MAC team, and lost to a team from Conference USA. And we're already playing the, it's not whether they win or lose, it's how they play the game. I know rebuilding is rebuilding, but still, when you're only halfway home and the only thing you're left to look at is how they play the game, I think that's discouraging for a fan base. I really do.
Well, and we have three home ACC matchups coming up that we just have very little confidence in ourselves going into.
And now we'll see. And now I think the big question is, how much confidence will the fans? Will the fans have enough confidence in what's going to happen on that field to be there? I think they will.
Right.
I hope they will be. But now it becomes a question that you have to ask and you have to analyze come Saturday at 3:30. And, you know, people have said this, and they're exactly right. When you're with a team and you're with a program, you're with them all the way. So you expect to see them there at 3:30. But you just wonder, because it's a fan base that's questioning itself and questioning the team and asking some big questions that they probably hope they wouldn't have to.
Yeah, and we've seen that elsewhere, and we've seen it turn out pretty badly elsewhere. So we'll see.
Indeed. I'll see you in 15 minutes once you finish your cruise down 29.
Hopefully. Yeah, don't take 29 right now, everybody.
There's your traffic report from Ace. Where are you, in the traffic copter? No, you're in the Saturn.
No,
never
I'm
mind.
Saturn.
All right, brother. We'll see you in a few.
All right. right, later.
Thanks, Joey. That's Joey Mancini, the ace producer of The Best Seat in the House, with us on line number one. Let's go to line three. Glenn, let's punch in Tony. Tony is with us on The Best Seat in the House. How are you, Tony?
Hi, Jed. How are you?
Well, good to talk to you, sir.
This probably is not going to qualify as the best fall of the night, but I think at the beginning of the year that Coach Groh said, this is going to be a rebounding year.
Mm-hmm.
And after he said that, I think the amount of abuse that he's taken since then has probably been more than he's taken in the last 5 or 6 years he's been here.
Combined, yes.
But it's quite possible that this team is just not a very good football team.
Mm-hmm.
And while we have some individuals that are good football players, as a team, they just aren't that good. And while they probably are going to get maybe a little bit better the rest of the year, with a freshman quarterback who probably also is going to get a little bit better the rest of the year, this is about as good as it's going to be, as much as a lot of people out there don't want to admit that.
So let's just,
and I'll just hang up and listen.
And so, Tony, let's just level with ourselves, and I think you said it very well. Al Groh leveled with us in March, didn't he? And Al Groh is a prideful guy, a very proud football coach, who's never going to concede or budge an inch. So when he says we have a significant rebuilding job in front of us from day number one, the first day of spring practice, maybe people like me and a lot of our listeners didn't take that statement seriously enough. And maybe we should have, because it is significant rebuilding. And to expect maybe anything more in a season of significant rebuilding is presumptuous and foolhardy of us. I've said this many times. Jameel Sewell is going to be a good ACC quarterback. It's not going to be this year. It might be next year. It's certainly in the long-term future. I really believe he has the tools. You should never be starting a redshirt freshman quarterback in the Atlantic Coast Conference. You just shouldn't. Look at the teams that have been most successful in college football the last 15 years. They start veteran quarterbacks, and they build a cycle that builds on itself. But Virginia realized how substantial the rebuilding effort was. And I don't want to go back through time and analyze right now how we got here, but we're here, and it's rebuilding. And Al Groh makes the statement with Jameel Sewell, putting him in as a redshirt freshman. Hey, guys, I wasn't kidding with you in April when I told you we had significant rebuilding. Here's the evidence. A team that's played Matt Schaub, Marcus Hagans, is now playing a redshirt freshman in the ACC schedule. We're going to break on The Best Seat. Lots of your phone calls coming up. Gary, hang on. John, hang on. We're taking in the next segment, I promise. 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. Lots of notes in the notebook bag or spiral notebook coming up. Some other issues as well. And again, the big question, where do the Cavaliers go from here? You can answer that with one simple local phone call. This is the Monday Best Seat.